Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not... Sorry, something popped up on my screen. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of God had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, God. We thank you that we get to come and just hear your word, God, to join as a community to pray, Lord, to pray for your people, God. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just fall in this place right now. God, open our ears to hear, God, Lord, and that you'll just, your spirit will just guide us, Lord, direct us, God, Lord, and we just pray that you will just be the one who is speaking this morning. In name we pray, amen. So, on Sunday, I always do something called a mini sermon, because it's supposed to be mini, but because we don't do a lot of things short at SP, my mini sermons for the kids, we're supposed to start as 5 minutes, sometimes go to 10, 15, and I'm trying to make them mini again. But I was trying to figure out what to preach. And this year, I actually felt like God was saying, follow what they're doing downstairs. Do what the pastor downstairs is doing. But one of the things this week, I felt like God was saying, because we've been talking about now concerning the spiritual things, we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I was trying to convey it to the kids in a new way, and something came to me that was saying, but are they willing? Right? We often think kids are very willing, but are they actually willing? Some of the comments I've gotten about the Holy Spirit speaking is like, well, I've never heard it. You know, like there's a little bit of a, they've heard it enough from me now that there's a, for some kids, there might be a slight resentment because they keep hearing about it, but they're not experiencing it. And I was drawn to this story. And it was actually quite interesting because the person leading worship, because I always do it after worship, I didn't know what her song choices were until we started singing. There was a little miscommunication between her and I. It's completely my fault. And so she went upstairs and quickly put the songs on, which I usually do. And her last song that she had put on was "I Am Listening." It's one of our kids' songs. And it tied in so well. And as I've been reflecting on this passage more this week, I wonder the same question, are we listening? Now, just a little bit of a background information about this passage, because actually, this is an intro to the prophecy that God is going to speak to Samuel. Right? God is going to speak a word into Samuel's life, and it's actually against Eli in some ways. It's talking to Samuel. But I really wanted to focus on the first 10 verses. But to know a little bit about Samuel, I'm sure many of you know, but he is the son of Hannah, right? Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And she said to God, "God, I will give you back my son or my child," right? And she honors that. We know that Samuel comes to live with Eli some point between, I was looking it up and different commentators have different things to say. One rabbi said it was probably 22 months old. And someone else said it could be up to 6 years old, because all the Bible tells us is this after he was weaned. And the reality is people wean their children at different ages. And so it could be anywhere between 24 months to 6 years old that Eli was brought to the temple, the tabernacle to live. Samuel was brought to Eli to live in the tabernacle. Now, the other thing we need to know is that Eli has these sons, and they're quite evil, right? They're doing some pretty horrible things. And so you have Samuel, who comes in, and he's the opposite. Samuel is the opposite of Eli's sons. Eli's sons, who should have known better, they should have known how to follow God's ways, they weren't. Right? And in chapter 2, there is a direct message spoken against Eli's family line through another person. We don't know the name of the person, but someone else comes and speaks against them. But you have this other boy who is not even a son, not in the line to be a priest, who comes in and is devoted to God. He's uncorrupt, he worships, and he is the ideal child, from what we know. Chapter 2 describes Samuel as someone who grew in stature and favor, not just amongst God, not just with God, but people. Now, in chapter 2, he's still a boy, right? He's still a boy, and he is growing in stature and favor. Now, think about that one. Did you have that titled on, put on you when you were a child? Who was that kid in your class that found both favor with peers and their teacher? Someone over here just said it was me, like that person. But really, they're very hard to find. Someone that people and teachers both find to be high in favor. God actually says a prophetic word that he is going to raise up a perfect, well, maybe not perfect, but a high priest that'll follow God's heart and mind. Now, there is some debate on whether this is actually Samuel or not, right? There's some debate that it wasn't Samuel because he actually doesn't become a priest. He becomes a prophet, right? When I was looking, some commentators say it's Zadok. And obviously, we know it's completely fulfilled in Jesus. But Samuel does have this characteristic. He is going to be willing to follow God's heart and mind. He's going to be willing to do the things that God calls him to do. And we see that Samuel here is somewhere between the ages of probably 10 and 12. He's still a boy, so he's not an adult, but he's not a child. And here he is ministering before the Lord under Eli. The scripture says he's ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the last thing I want you to remember is it was rare to hear God's voice. It was rare to hear God's voice. So as I've been reflecting, there's a few things I've been reflecting on about this passage. And David here will have already heard this on Sunday, so just bear with me, okay? But is it still rare for us to hear God's voice in our life? Is it still rare? Do we struggle to hear what God is calling us to do? I looked up some quotes about hearing God's voice. A.W. Tozer says this: most Christians don't hear God's voice because we have already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Most Christians do not hear God's voice because we've decided we're not going to do what he says. Have you ever prayed for something and you wondered why God's not answering you? A.W. Tozer makes us think and reflect that there's a high likelihood the reason that we're not hearing God's answer is because we've decided in our hearts that we're going to do what we want anyways. You know, if God gives you a directive, we're not going to actually follow it. If God is calling us to something specifically, in our hearts, we've already made up our minds. So what's the point of us opening our hearts and ears to hear something else? And actually, on further reflection, even if God is going to agree with you, there's something about the lack of humility when we come before God that even if our request is the same, like it's going to be answered the way we want it to be answered, there's a chance we might not hear God's voice because we've already made up our mind. We've already are unwilling to hear and obey what God has to say. Rick Warren says, we often miss God's voice simply because we're not paying attention. You know, maybe we're not hearing God's voice because we're not listening. Maybe it's not a lack of humility. Maybe it's not a lack of obedience. But it's actually, we're just not paying attention to his voice. It may be right in front of us. The answer is there. God is speaking, but we are so busy with our world and our life and our own thoughts that we miss out on his voice. Holly Taylor says this, to hear God's voice, you must turn down the world's volume. During the fast this year, I've said this many times, I'm part of different Facebook groups for children's ministry. And when I started leading Noah's Ark SP Kids, there was very little about fasting out there, right? And that was in 2015. Now it's 2019, and there is a lot more stuff out there about fasting. Something has happened in the last 5 years, and churches in the United States are fasting with their kids, starting the year in fast, and something has shifted. And one of the, I don't know if it's a teacher, a pastor, or just a parent, they've posted a video of a lesson they did with their kids. And what they did was they took their phone, the kid's phone, put the headphones on their kids, but they didn't turn the volume up so loud that it was impossible to hear God, like the mom speaking. She just put it up just enough that it became distracting, right? And so then she talks to her kids, and then she turns off the phone, she takes out their headphones, and she goes, did you hear what I said? And they were able to kind of say what their mom said. They kind of got the conversation. And then the mom goes on to say that she does this little lesson. She goes, this is part of why we fast, is to remove the distractions because God is always speaking and we are able to kind of hear him. But there's so many distractions in the world that often they get in the way of us clearly hearing God's voice. Are we in a place in our life that we're not hearing God's voice because the volume of the world is so loud that it's getting in the way? That we need to pull ourselves out. Literally, like right now, my phone is buzzing up here and it's driving me crazy. I don't know what's going on it, right? All these little distractions when we're spending time with God, are we setting them aside, completely tuning them out for, you know, as someone said, just even 7 minutes a day. You know, their goal, they're trying to be successful in their prayer life with God, and they made a goal. If only I could just spend 7 minutes. It's not that much. You would think it was possible. And they're like, and yet that 7 minutes can be a distraction. Whatever that amount of time is, are we willing to shut it off to hear the voice of God? Now, a few other things are upon reflection is, it's not surprising Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. We can often get caught up in the moment, like how come Samuel didn't see that this was God who was speaking to him, but nor did Eli at first. His leader didn't even recognize that the voice that Samuel was hearing was God. Why? It was rare. It was rare. And I don't think the voice of God is rare today in any way. I think God speaks very clearly to many people. But when we internalize this and we think for ourselves, maybe we're not hearing God's voice or recognizing it because we just haven't heard it enough. We haven't spent that time to cultivate that relationship. But if you look just at that specific time period, God's voice was far and few. Visions were far and few. They weren't happening a lot. They were in a place of honest, when your high priest and his family, his children are living a very sinful life. And that is the way that the people, you know, this is the time of the judges, right? They did evil in the eyes of God. Maybe there's something, some sin in our life that's causing us to not hear from God clearly. It's not that God's not speaking, but there's just that blockage. There's something, a disconnect. Because the reality is, what is sin? Disobedience to God. And when we're disobedient, when we build something, when there's animosity between people, not that God is hating towards us, but there's something, we just don't hear each other very well. If you've ever been in a fight with somebody, in a disagreement with somebody, it takes a lot of humility to just stop and listen to them, especially if you don't want to do what they've asked you to do. And so this is the culture that Samuel and Eli are in. This is the time, the spiritual atmosphere. But, you know, once Eli does realize it's God, right? It took three times. And you notice there's numbers mean a lot in Scripture. And it took three times for Eli to finally go, ah, I know who's actually talking to you. I know who is talking to you. And he gives them the absolute best advice. The absolute best advice that he could give. And he says to him, say, basically, I'm your servant. I'm willing to listen. Here I am, your servant, God. I am willing to listen. Are we willing to listen? Are we actually willing to listen to what God has to say into our life? If we start from a place of willingness, you know, not just with God, but actually, I mean, just on a personal face-to-face value with our friends, our family, you know, when we have those issues with each other, are we willing to actually listen to what the other person has to say, or are we in our mind coming up with a rebuttal? Are we already coming up with the words we're going to say? Because if we're not willing to listen, if we're already coming up with our words, we're not showing humility or love towards a person who's speaking to us. And if we want reconciliation in relationships, it has to start with humility, forgiveness, and the ability to listen to each other. You don't have to agree with each other. But when you look at God, that very simple prayer, here I am, God, I am listening. I'm willing to listen. Now we might say, well, yeah, of course I'm willing to listen. But do our actions say that? Do our actions indicate that we are? And this morning, I really want us to reflect on our state of being. Maybe you are in this amazing place with God where his voice is incredibly clear to you. You know, be like Eli, even though Eli, you know, was not necessarily in the best place with God, you know, his family was not in the greatest state. It took him a while to figure it out. But he guided Samuel in the end to doing what was right, giving him the right solution to what this voice is. You know, I think a couple other things is, you know, this was at nighttime. And there's something about the nighttime, the early morning, that I don't know why it is, but I feel, not that God doesn't speak and do visions and dreams and all of that during the daytime, but there's something about nighttime. And I really think it's at nighttime we're starting to shut down, right? We're starting to go into that restful place. Our mind is slowing down. Our work is put aside. And in that moment, God has room for us to hear him. Like in our mind, there's a space where we are now willing and have time to hear God's voice. You know, be careful at nighttime what you're filling it with. Allow God, you know, before you go to sleep, Lord, I am listening. I'm willing to hear what you have to say in my dreams, through your scripture, through people. And so as I ask the worship team to come up, let's reflect. When was the last time, if ever, you heard the voice of God? Do you hear from him daily, weekly, monthly, yearly? Has it been a decade or so? Why might you be struggling to hear him? What is in the way? And just go before God and allow him to speak to you this morning. As I was praying, I felt God was saying that it's not just about hearing his voice that starts with willingness, It's also about experiencing him. It's about experiencing his power. It's about experiencing miracles. It's about experiencing his goodness. Starts with a willingness. It's not a formula. Once I'm willing, all these things will happen. It's still in God's timing. But there's something about being willing to allow God to move and breathe in your life as he chooses that opens us to his goodness, to see what he is doing, and for us to just join in his work. And so I just ask God, Lord, that you will move in our lives today, God, that we will come to a place of willingness, Lord, that we'll come to a place where we are willing to obey at any cost, God, willing to obey you, to follow whatever it is that you've asked or are going to ask of us, Lord, willing to look like fools for you, willing to put aside our earthly pleasures and desires, God, to be following your ways, God, and just willing to just sit in your presence, God, willing to take and put aside our daily tasks, God, just to be with you. And so, God, we just pray, Lord, that you'll build this willingness up in us, Lord, that you'll stir our spirits and our minds and our souls to really just be willing, God, that you'll place this seed into our hearts. Amen. Let's turn to our community prayers. Let's pray for those in our church who are battling cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for their family members that they will just feel God's comfort as well. Yeah, let's just pray for God's healing hand in their lives. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering various illnesses but also still need to meet Jesus. Let's just pray for both spiritual and physical healing in their lives. Let's pray for those who are suffering from other sicknesses. Let's just pray that God will just bring healing to them as well. Lift up those who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray for God just to bring them to the right place. Let's just pray in this time of waiting that God will just be all that they need, that he will be their provider. So let's just pray for them. Our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace, and Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just pray for these women of God that God will use them mightily, that he'll give them their rest, the energy and strength to do what he's called them to do. And let's just pray for open hearts and minds in these two countries. That there'll be that God will just really speak through these women to just bring his freedom to the people that they encounter. Pray for the Mission Council. Let's just pray that God will just use them mightily. Let's pray for unity and discernment on who to partner with, how to use the funds, and let's just pray that they will be just vessels to help us become more mission-minded. Pray for our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray that God will just use our church as a light in this city. Let's just pray it's not just about what we can do for people, but really that we can just be friends, that we can walk alongside the different people in this city. SP Fam, our fostering and adoption ministry, which is led by Cadence. Let's just pray for the babies that are coming into our church. We have a new one coming in soon. Let's just pray that God will just raise up more people to open their homes in our community and in this city. And let's just let's just pray for Cadence to have wisdom for how to just help our families, and just that God will place each of these babies into homes where they'll feel loved and they'll be cherished. And let's just pray that open doors will be for each of them to find their forever home. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, GIC, EG, SPU, SP Youth, and IP. Let's just pray that God will just be ministering to each of the people that comes to these different discipleships and ministries. Let's just pray that his spirit will lead and guide each of the leaders, and let's be present in this building and in the lives of our people. Lexi, let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's just pray for their leaders, their hosts, each member, that their schedules will remain open and that they can just really come together as a family, just eating and filing fellowship and just worshiping you, God. God, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your goodness in our life and all that you've done, Lord, even when we don't recognize it, see it, or feel it, Lord God, that we just thank you, Lord, that you are still who you say you are. God, Lord, we just pray, God, that we can walk in obedience to you, God, that whatever you call us to do, God, that we'll be willing to listen and obey. Father God, give us hearts that our first response to you is, I am willing, I'm listening. God, Lord, that we will... Yeah, that you'll build up this kind of faith in us, Lord, and that we can just really be eagerly chasing after you. God, Lord, I pray for today, God, that your spirit will just give each and every one of us what we need today, for today. Lord, God, that you'll connect to our spirits, God, that you'll build us up to be more like you. So, God, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. I hope you enjoy the rest of your prayer time and see you on Sunday.